Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Welcome to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We've got a good show for you today, and we're going to talk a little bit about health costs that you face as you get older. Now, unfortunately, as we do get older, you know, I can attest to the fact that my knees get a little sore and there's things I have to take care of. And we've got to talk a little bit about that, what you should be planning for, how you can plan for that, how you can build it into your budget. That'll be an important topic, I think, for many of you listeners. And how do you stay active and fit in your lifestyle as you age? So if you don't want to experience some of these health issues, what can we do to be preventative? And we're going to discuss this with a trainer who started a fitness studio specifically for seniors and the needs of seniors. But right now, let's discuss assisted dying and why talking about end of life with your loved ones is so important.
Part of the conversation now, when we talk about legacy and the healthcare buckets, is a conversation around end of life. And we know that legislation in Canada has changed some time ago, but it's a new topic for a lot of people. We're still trying to integrate this into our society, and how people feel about it, you know, can be, you definitely got both sides of the argument.
Have you thought about the whole end of life conversation? Have you put it into your plans? Have you talked to your wife about it?
You asking me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have talked about it. Although, you know, I'm of the opinion that this is a difficult topic. I had a recent conversation with somebody who just went through this experience with a friend.
Oh, wow.
And they're at the end of life decision. And certainly the person who made the end of life decision was very happy about it. And they were settled with the idea, but it was unsettling for the people around him, like this person I was talking to. Okay. Yeah, so to answer your question, we have in concept, but I think until you're faced with that decision, it's a very difficult one to get your head around.
Do you think it would be different how you feel about yourself versus how you feel about your aging mother?
First of all, you know, mom couldn't make that decision because she has Alzheimer's, but given that she was in a state of mind that she could, it would be a very different experience for me than it would be for her. I firmly believe if she made that decision, she'd be settled with it. I think it would be very difficult on me.
And I think that's probably the hardest part is actually being that person that makes that decision, that call.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of work's done in advance of what transpires to making that decision, and yes, the parent is settled with it, but I would feel very different, weird, uncomfortable, even having that that kind of conversation with the doctors if it was for my father, for example.
Right.
And we've got a person who's written a book about this type of thing.
We do. The book is called Exit. It's the last year with my father. It's been written. It's written by a German named Uli Oswald. Now, Uli has asked Iris Hunter, who we've got on the show, to translate effectively. Iris's English is a little bit better, and she's offered to be our translator to help us understand Uli's experience as he describes it in his book. So, Iris, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking some time with us.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Maybe you heard a little bit of our setup, and there's lots of questions about this, but maybe we could get right into this. I'd love to know a little bit about Uli's experience and why he chose to write this book.
Well, Uli, I should tell you, first of all, Uli is Swiss-German, not German. So that makes a bit of a difference in terms of legislation, of course. And Uli grew up in a traditional middle-class Swiss family with a very strong father who was ruling the roost. He was a very strong personality, CEO of big firms, Knorr and Ringier. And then he was mainly known in Swiss, by everybody in Switzerland, practically, as an army reformer. So he was a very strong personality. Uli was one of two brothers. And they were always doing what, you know, the father was the dominant person, although Uli grew up and became, lived his own life. But there was, for a long time, there was the feeling that the father was the strong patriarch. His mother was expected to die after the father, as is statistically the case, And when the mother then died before in agony of cancer, and the father approached his 90th year, the father suddenly announced that he was thinking of dying as his sister had done, but the family didn't know that, through Exit, which is an organization that helps people die, as they do the MAID, Canada MAID thing, medically assisted dying. And discussions then started very slowly with Ueli standing by his father's side, and roles reversed in the way they often do with children and parents. Ueli was suddenly in a position of helping his father, supporting him, like water going upwards, flowing upwards. When before, the father was supporting Ueli when he was a child, you know, through decades. And now it was up to Ueli to advise and to see that the father was doing, you know, was being helped in his difficult situation. Fortunately, there were other people in the family also who were involved in the discussions, and I think one of the main arguments that Ueli would say is what he wanted to do with the book was encourage people to talk about death and dying, not to treat it as a taboo, as so many Western societies do, not to leave it until you're faced with it, but just talk about death and dying as we all do about birth and being born, as something natural. And the earlier you start, the easier it gets, really, and involves...
If I can just jump in, I think you've made a very, very good point there through Uli's experience about talking about it. I am curious, and you made a very good distinction, it's Swiss-German, so Swiss legislation, but I am curious about the different legislations around the world, how it sort of compares to Canada, if you're able to comment on that.
Yes, I have found a very good website with an amazing table produced by the British Medical Association, the Brits, to tell people where, and they give you statistics of where it's allowed, whether you can do it when you are, whether you can apply to go to one of those organizations when you have dementia or not, whether it has to be applied at the same time, how many doctors have to be involved. And for example, in Switzerland, it's fairly free. You can, you know, you have to be enrolled with one of those organizations and you get to know them. People will guide you through. There is one organization in Switzerland, which is called Dignitas, which is very famous in England, for example, because they allow foreigners to go and avail yourself of their services. The Swiss usually don't go there because places like Exit they'll come to your house. It's much less like a factory run organization. So you have Switzerland. There's Oregon, of course, which is on that table, which is fairly liberal, or very liberal. Then you have the Netherlands, where again that's quite liberal. Belgium as well. Question of whether children are allowed to be treated like that or not. And then you have Canada. You know about MAID, which has just recently been upgraded in law. The thing is, in the whole world, Western world in any case, in most countries there are discussions and campaigns, and the societies and associations, they talk to each other. In England at the moment, it is not allowed to help somebody kill somebody, I mean, to help somebody to do suicide like that, or that's what they call it, assisted dying. But the House of Lords is very much discussing it, and Baroness Meacher is pushing for the legislation to be introduced, that in England too, you can have assisted dying. What happens at the moment is people have to go to Zurich, to the Dignitas Clinic, and of course they have to go early enough that they can do it themselves. So somebody is quadriplegic, for example, and cannot organize the traveling and everything else by themselves, they run the risk that they get arrested on the way back with the ashes of the dead person.
Iris, this is a big topic, I know. Unfortunately, we're running short on time. I think that what we wanted to do at this point is to raise the awareness of the topic, because this is going to be a conversation, I believe, in Canada is going to continue to evolve, and obviously in many places around the world. So I want to thank you very much for taking some time with us today, and please pass along our best to Uli Oswald, the author of Exit, The Last Year with My Father, for writing a book on his experience.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. That's a big topic, my friend. It's a start of many conversations to come. We have to talk a little bit about not just end of life, but getting to that point all the way through retirement, right? But the transition that you go through is an important piece of that overall discussion, not just end of life discussions, but asset transfers, taxes, all of those different things form an important piece of that decision making. And we're going to talk about that upcoming seminar.
Yeah, let's do that Tuesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. This will be live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Yeah, we'll stick around after the break. If you're interested to understand a little bit about your options on how to cover some of the healthcare costs after you retire, that's after the break on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.